to the biggest and best long weekend of summer. In fact, technically, actually, the only long weekend of summer. Canada Day this year was on a Wednesday, so, I mean, you had to take the week off to kind of get a run of days, and of course, Labor Day, technically still summer, but that's kind of signifying summer's over. This is the weekend. The August long weekend is here. And if you are heading outdoors for any activity this weekend, be it cottage, camping, round of golf, whatever it may be, start of the weekend looks better than the back end of the weekend. Today's going to be nice. Tomorrow's going to be nice. Really hot, actually, tomorrow. But then rain in the forecast for Sunday and showers for a holiday Monday. And actually looking like next week, we're finally going to get out of this. Has it felt like, Simmer, every day in the month of July has been 30 degrees or more? It's just been super hot, right? And I think today's the 31st. Yeah. I think it's going to end up being the hottest July on record, average temperature in Ottawa. But next week looks like it's going to be much cooler.
Yeah, and again, no complaint with the long winter we have. But hey, there's just some days where when the humidex or the temperature gets into the 40s, don't have a whole lot of use to it. But yeah, I like the settling down. More importantly, for August and September, I just think it's always cool too at night, right? I don't mind the little bit cooler, just a feeling of not fall in the air, but just a little more relaxing.
Yeah. All right, couple of wrenches on this wrench throwing Friday. Again, anything that's bothered you the last 7 days, toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the weekend. Hey, boys, I'd like to throw the biggest wrench you've got at Major League Baseball for the past week, not only for not containing the COVID cases in the league, but also for giving Joe Kelly 8 games for not even hitting an Astros player. But the cheaters still got nada. Hashtag free Joe Kelly. That comes from Unsigned. And from Brent, morning lads. Wrench to the head of Bunda for his loving of a tweet yesterday about the Tampa Bay Bucks adding the 2 leading touchdown scores from 2011 this offseason. Sounded so much like Habs fans talking about the 24 Stanley Cup banners. That comes from Brent.
Cowabunga!
What do you got to say for yourself there, Bunda? LeSean McCoy, by the way, is who he is referring to. And is Gronk the other one from 2011?
Yeah.
Yes.
And loving it, meaning how awful it is. I brought it up with you guys, like how they just, like they signed LeSean McCoy. He's not going to be their starting running back, but relax on that one. I'm having fun with it too. But when you get a stat in 2020, about the Bucks having 2 of the top guys from 2011 in touchdowns. Like, who takes that seriously?
Exactly. A little humor there. That's Washington Redskin-esque, right?
But another addition, though, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, they had a great team in 2010.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. When I was in high school, they were good.
All right. So Keith the Wrench is coming on this Wrench Throwing Friday. Steve as well. When TSN 1200 had the golf day at Equinel a few years back, my buddy was late getting me. Still recall running to the cart with a pint exploding in my bag. Wrench to me. That comes from Steve.
I did not see that coming.
Now, because Steve included the keyword golf in his text, he is into the grand prize draw that we're having with our friends from Equinel. It is a text to win Friday. If you text us, include the keyword golf, and you'll be into the grand prize draw to win a round of golf for you and 3 friends at the beautiful Equinel Golf Course. All right, 7-11. You ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs, Simmer?
I am, actually, yeah. I'm ready for meaningful hockey starting tomorrow.
All right. Of the games tomorrow, which one are you most looking forward to?
Well, I've said the 8 o'clock. I mean, to me, anything Montreal.
But you said Pittsburgh's going to smoke Montreal.
Yeah, but still, you just want to, because there is, it is Montreal. It is a rival of the Ottawa Senators. I grew up a Montreal Canadiens fan. To me, that is the biggest one where I'm not smelling 1986 and a Stanley Cup for Montreal. But I'm just curious how they handle as an underdog. And I really want to watch guys like Durant and Carey Price, who have, to me, in body language and overall demeanor, have been less than excited about playing in this series, to see how they play.
All right. So during the last commercial break, you and I both wrote down separately our predictions for the play-in series. So as opposed to, you know, you picking one and then me having to respond to you, we've done it independently.
Yeah.
So, Bundy, you're going to reveal the picks. Listeners can play along as well. And, Bundy, you can make your pick. So now we've got everything official. You don't know what I picked. I don't know what you picked.
Yeah.
So let's get a little bit of music. We need a little background music for this. Anything that you got that seems appropriate. There we go. All right. We got our All right, so let's start with the most boring series that no one cares about in the West, Nashville versus Arizona.
Yeah.
What's Simmer got?
You know what? I look at this, and I'm not a fan of that Nashville crew, especially Duchesne, Johansson, Turris, kind of the way that that's made up. And I think tactically, a couple of things. Arizona's very well coached. And my sleeper, if you want to say players, a guy that had one hell of a season and has been a great find for Arizona has been Darcy Kemper. So I'm actually going to take Arizona.
In? What do you got written down?
You know what? I didn't write down for the series. I'll take Arizona in five.
All right. Bunda, what did I write?
Yeah. Sorry, you had to write down Simmers for him. You have Nashville over Arizona in four.
In four. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good pick by me on that one. All right. Let's stay out west. Bunda, why don't you reveal the... Let's go to Vancouver, Minnesota next.
All right. Vancouver over Minnesota. That's what you have. You have Vancouver over Mini in five. Simmer?
I'm going to take Mini in five. So the opposite. And my feeling there, boy, I watched the razzle-dazzle of Vancouver. Still feel like they're a little soft. And I Markstrom just hasn't been the same since injury. So I'll take the veteran and big boy hockey. Going to take the
hang on a second. What? Markstrom hasn't been the same. He hasn't played in 4.5 months. No one has played in 4.5 months.
Well, he just played the other day. He hasn't been the same.
Come on.
Come on, man. If I'm going to BS, you got to just go along.
All right, fine. All right. No, I'm going to call you out once in a while. All right. Okay. Bonda, what are you taking there? Vancouver Mini.
I'm going to take Vancouver. I'll take that one, but I'm going to go with three.
Oh. Vancouver sweep. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I like it.
Yeah, I'm going bold on that one. We'll move to the Oilers over the Hawks. You have them in five, JR. Simmer, you have Edmonton in.
I got to take them in five as well.
Okay. All right. Long series. I think it's going to be lots of... my feel on it is there should be lots of goals in this series.
Yeah, I agree. And I look at Chicago as playing some pretty good hockey. Crawford, boy, all that time off. And, hey, not that he wasn't great before, but even the reset for Connor McDavid. And just he's playing video game right now. And I know Kane's a hell of a hockey player, but can't drive it the same way Connor. So I'll take Edmonton.
All right. Last but not least, Winnipeg and Calgary.
Yeah, I end up going with Winnipeg, and I'll say Winnipeg in four. Again, the Connor Hellebuck factor, goaltending overall. And still, Winnipeg's not a pretty good club, so I got Winnipeg.
And Jerry, you have them in four as well.
Winnipeg in four. Much as it pains me to say that, that I believe would be the reality. Goaltending, I think, will be the big difference there.
Is this also not a bad thing for Calgary? Couple of things. First of all, to be in the sweepstakes for Lafreniere, but probably... the realization that it's time to turn the page and start making some major moves.
Yep. Time to cut out a little bit of that core. Yeah. Everybody's too comfy, cozy. Yeah. I've been saying that all season. I've been consistent in saying that season.
Yeah, for sure.
Not just Johnny come lately. Yeah. All right, let's move to the East. Let's go with the least interesting series. I mean, a bit of interest from Ottawa Senator fans just because of the draft pick portion of it. But Florida and the New York Islanders. What's Simmer got?
I'm going to take the New York Islanders, and I'll take them in four. Again, the tactical part of it, no faith in Bobrovsky. I don't think there's a ton of passion with the Florida Panthers either, so I got the Islanders in four.
Yeah, JR, you have the exact same pick.
Oh, man, that's two in a row. I've got the same pick as Simmer.
Yeah.
And again, we did this separately, so I don't want to be boring by picking the same thing. But I got, for all the reasons you said, who knows if Florida's into it or not. And I love Coach Q, good friend of the show.
Yeah.
But just not sure that they're going to be able to overcome. I mean, the Islanders, they can throw a blanket over anything under that with that Barry Trotz system. And we saw that against the Rangers the other day.
Yeah, and every one of these teams, until we see Saturday or Sunday, I know there were some preseason games or exhibition, to understand, first of all, who's healthy, but who's up to kind of top speed. We're not going to really have an idea until we start watching them come real games on Saturday and Sunday.
You know, I'll take Florida in five just for the Sens fans out there to get that first round pick.
All right. Okay. All right. Rangers, Carolina. What do you got, Simmer?
Carolina, or the Rangers had been my dark horse, but now after watching them, got a little bit of stage fright after having the old dog on yesterday. Very underrated Carolina team. My insiders tell me Mrazek was the MVP of Phase 3 their training camp in Carolina.
I thought the Leafs were the only team to choose eight.
As written by the only local media member that covers the Carolina team. They just have one person. So I'll take it's going to be a long one, but same thing. I'll go Carolina in five.
All right. I think I chose the Rangers. I know that. Did I say four or five? I think I said five.
Yeah, you said Rangers over the Hurricanes in five.
Okay. All right.
It could, guys, as well. This could part of this for the NHL could set up for a fun weekend, right? Where maybe we have as many as, you know, six games or six series that are going into game five.
Yeah.
Could set up for a real nice weekend.
I think I chose four of the eight series going five games, of the eight going four games, and one sweep.
Yeah.
Before we get to my sweep, which I think everybody's got the same thing on that one. Bundy, what do you got for Rangers, Carolina?
I'm going with the Rangers as well. Yeah, I'm going to take the Rangers. We were making fun of Zibby a little bit, but I think he has a good playoff here. He's had a great season, a big showing for the Rangers, so I think they'll win this one. I'll give the Rangers in five as well.
All right. I think Zibby was working on some good tunes, some good DJ work.
I think he's ready to go since his injury, to scratch off the rust,
that's all.
What was that, Zimmer?
Hasn't been the same since his injury.
All right. Pittsburgh, Montreal. Everybody got a sweep for Pittsburgh in that one?
I thought the other day it was my only sweep. Oh, but the other day you said that you thought they'd win at least one.
No, that was Tony Marinaro.
Okay. Yeah.
I got a sweep.
I'm gonna go Pittsburgh in four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go Pittsburgh in four as well because I could see Montreal getting a one game in there.
How? Why?
Just fluke. But okay. Like, you know, the way that this hockey is set up right now, I don't know why, but I could just see Montreal getting one in there.
Even
so, Max Domi gets in. You know, Crosby's grill starts a little bit of beef. Shea Weber comes in with a clapper and wins the game in overtime.
Yeah. I think Crosby's going to be super motivated if he's healthy.
Yeah.
This is all on the guise of Sidney Crosby being healthy. I think he's going to be super motivated. Them getting Gensel back, man, they got two super good lines.
Yeah.
Health is a huge part for Pittsburgh. It is for all teams, I realize that, but I really like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think Sid's just going to tease Montreal, though. Let him win one game, let him hang around. Plus, he doesn't want all that downtime there. I mean, he's got a lot of other interests outside of hockey, which I don't know of any of them.
Yes.
So he doesn't want the downtime.
So, Zimmer, you have Pittsburgh in four, you said, or three?
Yeah, Pittsburgh in four.
Okay.
All right, and that leaves the Toronto-Columbus series, which I think I've heard some lots of people with lots of different opinions on how this is all going to go. So, Zimmer, you start us off.
You know what? I'm going to take Columbus, and I'll take them in five as well. It's going to be a fun series, and even something as simple as Robertson dressing versus Gauthier. The mix to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't have any faith. Actually, you know what? Sorry. I'm going to take Columbus Blue Jackets in four. I don't have any faith, and I know they're going to be able to score, but look at Columbus, you know, tactically and defensively, I just don't think it's going to work. Unless the Leafs power play is off the charts, I just don't see Columbus allowing that even strength.
And I want everybody to know, especially the anti-Leaf fans that are out there that are cheering for the fact that that Zimmer took Columbus to win this series, off the air, he also went down the road of, okay, Leafs will lose, which will put them in the draft lottery, which they will win. They will get Alexi Lafreniere, therefore being able to trade William Nylander, freeing up $7 million of cap space, while Lafreniere's on a rookie contract, which will enable them to sign a frontline defenseman. I don't know, maybe Alex Pietrangelo or something like that.
No, they're going to re-sign Tyson Barrie to $8 million a year.
But also, as the boss of us, that was an inter-employee conversation.
Nothing is off the record, sir.
That was a private conversation I was having with Bundu, who's a Leafs fan. That's not supposed to be on the air.
All right, so Simmer's got Columbus in four. I have the Leafs in five in this series. I'm just going to take the most talented team at the end of the day. Things are so hard to predict. I do think that that Austin Matthews is going to have, I think he's going to score a bunch of goals in this series. Yeah. I think the Leafs are going to outscore and outskill Columbus enough. But I think it's going to be a long series, so I'm going to take the Leafs, but in five games. Bunda?
Yeah, and growing up a huge Leaf fan, if there was ever a year for them to win, it is this year, right? The cursed year where there's going to be no parade, no one in the stands, there's no pressure. But I think the Leafs, they have a lot of depth. I'm going to take them over Columbus. I'll take them in five as well. It's going to be a tough series. I think they're going to get beat up a bit.
Yeah, that matchup, though, with Seth Jones back in and Werenski. Now, the Leafs can build a couple of lines, but as far as getting out against Matthews, that part, and then I just think they're going to run over the Leafs D. I mean, outside of Morgan Riley, not a whole lot of faith, and I think they're just going to be all over Tyson Barrie and Cody Ceci.
All right, so I had one sweep. I had Pittsburgh over Montreal. Simmer, did you end up having any sweeps?
No, I didn't. I think in a format like this, guys, in a short series and as close as they are, even with Pittsburgh, I think it's going to be difficult for somebody to roll right over somebody. Everybody's going to, even the mentality. I don't see that happening.
All right. Bundy, you got any sweeps?
Yeah, just one. Vancouver over Mini.
All right. And Simmer, you have how many five-game series of the eight?
I've got
four.
Well, you know what? I didn't write them down. I was giving them to Stevie. I think I had as many as four as well.
Yeah, you had four.
But I even think that, hey, now I'm hoping as a hockey fan, I hope a whole bunch of these go into next weekend and an opportunity to sit down and watch, games where somebody's going home and somebody's going on to the next round.
Virginia Steve texts in at 12-1200. Good morning, fellas. Not a blue team fan. Didn't give the Jackets a chance until I saw Elvis last night. That kid could steal this. Rangers, Montreal, and the Islanders will sweep. Panthers are terrible and will be back back to golf. Hashtag golf, yeah, quickly. Yeah. That's from Virginia Steve, who gets himself in the Equinel draw by dropping the word golf in there, yeah, with the Panthers. Yeah, Montreal sweep. Interesting from Virginia Steve. That may be a little fanboy,
yeah,
kind of thing going,
yeah,
on there.
And as far as Merzlikins, boy, what a story that's ended up being.
Now, did he go the whole way last night? Or
you know what? I'll look it up. Yeah, and with Korpisalo, because if you really look at the season, Merzlikins' numbers were the better ones, but Korpisalo was so good until he got hurt. But I remember a year ago, JR, and people were asking, talking to people, saying, hey, what are they going to do with Bobrovsky? This guy had become very popular playing in Switzerland, eh? And he was big on social media. He's got one hell of a personality. But again, when they came into Ottawa here, he got pulled in that game. He had not won a game at that point. I thought, well, their season is done. When Korpisalo got hurt, this guy's gotten on a roll, and he is. And we were going to say some of the players. I'm going to go goaltenders. Two wild cards. One is Merzlikins for Columbus. And as I said, Darcy Kemper is my wild card for Arizona.
All right. By the way, David Pastrnak, for those wondering, did get into the game last night. He's hasn't really been part of much at all with Boston. Did they ever end up saying he had corona or just some positive tests that...
I don't know, but he scored a sweet goal without, yeah, even trying. One of those goals where he came off kind of a bad bounce off the left side, did a little subtle move and tucked it between the pads. No, he... Like I said, but he's just in cruise control, and they're probably, for his circumstance, very happy that they've got three exhibition games after this to kind of get ready for the first round.
Yeah, Columbus, by the way, beat Boston last night 4-1. They put three past Tuukka Rask in the first period. Would that give you any concern at all if you're a Bruins fan?
You know what? He's been a slow starter. That's always been the pressure. I don't know if concern. But I also, yeah, I know, because they go to Halleck, but I guess just a slight little bit. And hey, Bruins fans are all over him, but when he's on his game, he's one of the best in the business.
By the way, the Columbus goalie split the game last night. Korpisalo started, yeah. Merzlikins came in. He gave up the one goal to Pastrnak, and after the game, John Tortorella said, has not decided who is going to start to game one. I'm going to say they're going to start Korpisalo.
Yeah.
But they've got an absolutely, you know, it's the great option to have, right, where if you lose game one for whatever reason, boom, change it up and bring the other guy in for game two.
Yeah.
It's going to fill your team with some confidence. Hey, we got the other guy in there. We got Elvis in there.
Yeah.
And see if Elvis can steal the show. So we're looking forward to it. Again, Stanley Cup playoffs will start tomorrow at high noon with the Rangers versus Carolina. We'll have the Hawks-Oilers game here on TSN 1200 at 3. And I think the games of most interest beyond that Oilers game for people here will be the Habs and Pens. That's an 8 o'clock game tomorrow. And then the nightcap to day one will be the Flames and Jets, and that one faces off at 10:30. All right, we'll take a break, 7:25. When we come back, we'll talk about the kickoff to the NBA season. Regular season resumed last night. The NBA isn't going to the playoffs like the NHL does. They're actually completing the regular season first, but they had a couple of great matchups and a couple of great games that actually held the form last night, including that Lakers-Clippers game that went right down to the last shot. We'll tell you all about that coming up later on this morning. We'll talk to Alan May, a former NHLer, now with the Caps. We'll go through the NHL stuff with him after 8 and after 9. Osvaldo Gianti, head coach of the Ottawa Blackjacks. They finally got their first win last night at the Summer Series down in St. Catharines. We'll talk to Oz coming up after 9 right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Government of Canada, help protect yourself and your community. Download the COVID Alert app for free to help stop the spread of the virus. The COVID Alert app lets users know if they may have been exposed to COVID-19. It's available now at the App Store or Google Play. Simply search for COVID Alert. All right, lots of people getting their texts into us at 12-1200 with the keyword golf to get into the grand prize draw for that free round of golf at Equinel. We'll do the draw before the end of the show. So as you're sharing your thoughts with us, make sure you use that keyword as well to get into the draw. And speaking of golf, and it's going to be a terrific day for golf today. Don't forget, we've got our first TSN 1200 Majors Pool of the Year ready to go online, tsn1200.ca. Go to our website, click on the banner right across the top, fill out the information, and then most importantly, fill out your team. And if your collective team is better than anybody else, you will win our grand prize courtesy of our friends at Royal LePage Team Realty, and that is your very own Google Home, which I used last night when I got home to listen to the Clippers-Lakers game right here on TSN 1200. I simply said, Simmer, hey Google, turn on TSN 1200, and boom, I got the radio right there. If you don't have one of these, it is absolutely, I mean, well, you don't have to touch anything, right?
No.
And your old-fashioned radio is the days of yore. Now you just say what you want with your very own Google Home. That's our grand prize. So get your picks into us before the deadline, which is the start of the PGA Championship next Thursday, the first of three golf majors set for this year.
And during the winter, there was a stack of a couple of hundred of those sitting downstairs, assuming that one of those somehow appeared in your office, and now you have it home. Is that correct?
Maybe. Maybe. No, not the home one. No, no.
Oh, okay.
No, that was a gift from my wife a couple of Christmases ago.
It is from, and when I was growing up, people sometimes had the small TV, but generally people had Canada AM on, right? They would somehow have it in the background. As the trends and the spots of, and I usually use the iHeart app to listen to, and in the past would listen when I was working in the afternoon, listen to you guys in the morning. It's interesting, as you just said, that accessibility to communication and how a lot of people now are using exactly that, want to hear either CFRA, TSN 1200, whatever it is, music to start off your day.
Yeah, well, we live in an on-demand world, right?
Yeah, very much so.
You want everything at your fingerprints or fingertips. The other part of it is, I mean, it's just the ease. You want to listen to music? I mean, my wife will just say, I want to listen to, I don't know, Taylor Swift or whatever, new album or whatever. Just boom, you ask for it, and there it is.
Well, it's amazing.
That's old Taylor Swift. She's got a new CD out.
Yeah?
Do
you like it?
It's outstanding. I got to be honest. And I'm not here to go to bat for Taylor Swift. You don't hate her music. She's pretty non-offensive overall.
Yeah.
But her last album is really, really good.
Yeah.
Came out last week. Just dropped it right out of the middle of nowhere.
Is it indie rock too?
Yeah. She said I just wrote a bunch of songs in quarantine. And she's got some good collaborative songs as well. Two or three artists from the outside that helped her with some of the songs as well. So
want to make a little bit of cash as well. I think and for some of the stuff, guys, just nice to get away from your phone too, right? Not having to link everything to the phone. So you just slide that on and got a little music playing in the background.
All right. So again, get your picks in for our TSN 1200 Golf Pool presented by our friends at Royal LePage Team Realty. Do it today so you don't forget, but we'll continue to remind you. And again, the PGA Championship kicks off next Thursday out at Harding Park in San Francisco. So for those of us in the East, that means primetime golf. You'll have hockey playoffs. You'll have the NBA going on. You got Major League Baseball, hopefully still going on next week.
Yeah.
The first major of the golf season in primetime as well. Be all good. All right, 7:36. We mentioned NBA. The regular season finally resumed yesterday with a couple of, certainly one marquee game. The Lakers and the Clippers, we had it for you here on TSN 1200. It went back and forth. The Lakers had a big lead. Clippers came back. Clippers had an 11-point lead at one point in the third quarter. Let's take you to late in the game. And who else but LeBron James with the ball in his hand?
Here's James. Gets up a runner. Thought he was fouled. No contact. Followed it up and put it in. Wow. And a timeout called by the Clippers. James was looking for contact and able to follow it up and score.
I think he felt he got hit, and that's why he threw it up to the rim.
13 seconds left with LeBron James on the follow. Gets what turns out to be the winning bucket as Paul George misses the game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer. Lakers 103, Clippers 101. Actually, LeBron James did not have, statistically at least, one of his better games last night. Only had 16 points, but had the game winner.
Yeah.
It was actually AD Anthony Davis, who had 34 points for the Lakers and for the Clippers. Kawhi had 28. Paul George had 30. Paul George is unconscious in the fourth quarter. Watching that game, Every time they needed a bucket, he drained a three, but yeah, just missed the one, the game winner at the buzzer. But it was a terrific basketball game to get things restarted in the NBA.
And maybe they all do, but when you watch Paul George, would you say sweet stroke as well? I'm looking at the angle.
Effortless.
It really is. And for these teams, first of all, are they trying to play these games to get money back? For sure. But I think a lot of this was LeBron James. He's the one that wants to, listen, I got to get some regular season games in here. 34 years old. I want to get tuned up. And would you have looked at this, JR? And I guess the Clippers aren't as sexy as some other teams, but I still think at the end of the day, would the NBA love to see LA Clippers, LA Lakers in the finals? Well, it's not going to happen. In the format that they're in, are you a little surprised that they didn't go 1-16 because of the, you know, there's no conference, there's no different in the travel that they didn't just say, listen, let's align this way. And you know what? Let's especially, you know,
because. Just because?
Well, no, because in the past, the West has certainly been the dominant. I think it's leveled out a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's something fun.
Yeah, well, but I why change it though? I mean, you have all the teams there. You have three quarters of a season or 80% of a season done.
Yeah, for sure.
Why would you kind of trick up your playoffs, as it were?
Yeah. I just look at a year that, and I'm not a 1-16 guy. Just where, hey, there is no travel involved, and would it allow some different matchups?
Yeah, but I would. Say? I think there'd be a lot of people that would love to see a LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo NBA final
sure,
as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Right, and with Milwaukee being the best team in the East, and a lot of people think Milwaukee will end up at the end of the day winning this entire thing.
And there's also a lot of people who would probably love to see the Milwaukee Bucks play the Clippers and the Lakers in the same playoff, which is not possible in the format. That's all. I look at something like this. Hey, throw anything out as far as bold thoughts right now.
Yep.
That's all.
Raptors will get their regular season restarted tomorrow. They're taking on LeBron James and the Lakers. That is an 8:30 game. And the Raptors, I think, have either seven or eight games in their regular season. So again, this is a way for the top teams. They know they've already clinched a playoff spot. It's about seeding for the Raptors. Really, to be quite honest with you, you got the Celtics can potentially make a run at them, but the Raptors have second in the East.
Yeah.
I won't say sewn up, but they're in the driver's seat most certainly. And second is important because there are really six good teams in the East. And if you finish second, you're going to get the seven seed in the first round. Whoever that may end up being should be an easier matchup. So there is some incentive for the Raptors to try to hold off the Celtics for second place.
Yeah, and watching some of the opinions yesterday in the United States, it kind of went four deep as far as, and it was varying opinions, who could knock off the Bucks. Mr. Van Gundy, who I love on it, was actually the only one that had the Raptors. One person had Miami, a couple of people Philadelphia, and then the other one was the Celtics. Is that accurate, as you said, that those are the main four? Or
yes,
I don't even
for
know.
Sure.
I'm trying to know who is.
Well, Miami's had a good year.
Yeah.
I think the Pacers are decent as well. So there's kind of your six, but I would say those latter two probably would be five and six for sure, right?
Yeah.
There's a Milwaukee, Toronto, then you got Boston, as you mentioned. A lot of people like Philly as a dark horse. Ben Simmons looks like he may be kind of moving to another level potentially, and that's why a lot of people like the Sixers with Joel Embiid as well. Well, it remains to be seen. You've never liked the mix of that team. Then you've got the next two, and then the rest is just kind of a hodgepodge. And who knows if the Brooklyn Nets will even have enough players to finish the regular season.
Yeah, or do they want to?
Yeah.
There's the level of interest isn't there. And I look at the Raptors, and they just seem like, first of all, as an organization, are outstanding. I think there's a lot of guys that are motivated that, hey, it's – and let's not pretend that they wouldn't have won last year without Kawhi. They certainly wouldn't have. I don't even think one had the Golden State not had so many injuries. But, boy, I like the feel of the team, and they're real good pros. They're very organized, and in a crazy world that we're living in, I've got to think that part of it is going to be a major factor.
Congratulations to the Ottawa Blackjacks. Got their first win of the summer series happening down in St. Catharines as they held off the Fraser Valley Bandits last night, 78-76, as you heard here on TSN 1200. This was the Elam ending. If there's one criticism of the Elam ending, it's that a game can end on a free throw, which is a bit anticlimactic, which is what we saw last night. Johnny Berhanemeskal ends up clinching the game for the Blackjacks by sinking a free throw, and they win 78-76. And again, the way the Elam ending works is at the first timeout, after 4 minutes are left in the game, add 9 points to the score of the team leading, and that's the target score. And it's the first team to get to that target score that wins the game. So no, you know, there's no more overtimes. There's no more intentional fouling. You don't need to do any of that. That's the upside of the Elam ending. The downside of the Elam ending is what we saw last night, where a game ends on a free throw.
Okay.
But hey, it's a game the Blackjacks needed to win. They hadn't won a game.
Yeah.
And so they'll take it any way they can get it.
Yeah, pretty creative. What's the origin or history of this? Pretty interesting.
Yeah,
pretty creative,
it was put together by a guy who is like a PhD, off the charts mathematician, who was basically trying to find a better way for basketball games to end than what we see, which is endless fouling at the end of games as teams try to come back.
Yeah.
So as opposed to, and with time being an important part, with Elam ending, there is no more time. It's a score you're playing toward.
Okay. Oh, that's
so,
cool.
There's various Elam endings. Some of them are 7, some of them are 8. This one is 9. And it was interesting that this game, this Blackjacks game, ended up being 69-69. When the first whistle after the 4 minutes was left in the game came. So both teams, it was the first team to 9, essentially, it was going to win the game.
Okay,
and for last night,
okay,
it was the Blackjacks.
Yeah, good.
So there
you
go.
Nice win.
Yes, exactly. And we'll talk to head coach Osvaldo Genti about the team's first win. He'll join us coming up after 9. By the way, the Blackjacks will play again on Sunday afternoon at 1:30. Again, this is a six-team round robin. 6 of the 7 teams that are in the tournament will make the playoffs. So that was a much-needed win for Ottawa. You know, one win probably doesn't get it doesn't guarantee you finishing 6th. Everybody's got at least one win now.
Yeah.
Probably a second win is going to be enough. So they've got 3 games left to get that second win. We'll see if they can do it, perhaps as early as on Sunday. 7:44, we'll take a break. When we come back, more of your wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. Keep those coming. Make sure in your text you include the keyword golf to get into our grand prize draw with Equinel Golf Course for a free round of golf for 4. Coming up after 8, Alan May will talk NHL playoffs with us as well as we roll on here for a getting set for the long weekend edition of Sports Radio TSN 1200. And a good friend of Simmer's will join us on the show. We'll talk some upcoming hockey playoffs. Now, why do you call him Albie, by the way?
You know what? I don't know. That was just a nickname at the time.
Okay.
Combination of
didn't
Al,
go Mazer or
Maydog. No. No, I have no idea. Just, oh. So remember him coming over as a player. I didn't play with him much. I was actually more into the TV and management at the time, but that's just always been the nickname. So
okay.
I'll have to confirm it when
now,
it
yeah. Now, I saw a posting from him on social media. That he lost his son. Is
he
that
did,
right?
yeah. And so I did not go into detail with that, to be quite honest with you, other than to at the time offer some support and then follow up with him yesterday. So
So how's he doing?
He sounded fairly positive. But as anyone can imagine, but anyone that obviously has children, it's very, very tough time for him.
Absolutely. All right, 7:49. Hey, fellas, can I get a wrench to old Mother Nature? I'm hoping to get my first game of golf in this Sunday or Monday since my 3-year-old twins were born. So it figures it's going to rain all weekend. Cheers. That comes from Fraser. Yeah, wow, that is a long time to go without golf. Listen, I understand. I had really young kids at one point, and they do put a crimp in any of your social plans. Yeah. But 3,
Fraser, I got
you. Can't
we got
once.
Come
in
on,
2 years.
Fraser. So we got to ask some questions here, and hopefully, again, health, everything was good. But yeah, so you have not been on the course since 2017.
Yeah, we need an intervention.
Since the Ottawa Senators went to the Game 7 of the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have not been able to find time to play golf. And at least right now, Jer. Trending a little bit, but at least it's warm out, right? I mean, hey, warm rain. Do you want rain? No. But this isn't early spring where you're shivering when you're out at the course, and it's just no fun to be out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's see here. Hey, boys, great weekend for some golf. There you go. Keyword golf.
Yeah.
No strong takes, although Toronto can suck it. Golf. That comes from Zach in Cars. Just wanted to get his entry in. Leafs in 4. No golf for them this summer. That's from Johnny, who's probably a Leafs fan. At least the weather Saturday is looking good for golf. Got about 1 million entries here. So keep them coming. Again, use the keyword golf when you text us at 12-1200. And while you're tossing your wrenches as well, get into that grand prize draw for the free golf at Equinel. And we'll do the draw before the end of the show. All right, 7:51. Blue Jays are not playing baseball this weekend, everybody. Major League Baseball announced yesterday they have postponed their series against the Phillies this weekend after a Phillies coach and a clubhouse attendant both tested positive for coronavirus on Wednesday. So no players have tested positive yet. But as the term goes, using an abundance of caution, Major League Baseball has decided they're not going to play baseball in Philadelphia for at least this weekend, and that's where the Blue Jays were supposed to play. So instead, they're going to work out all weekend in Washington alongside the Nationals, who were supposed to play the Marlins this weekend.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're a little over a week into the season. By the end of this weekend, some teams will have played 10 games.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays will have played 7, so they're not too bad.
Yeah.
But the Marlins and the Phillies will have played 3 games each a week and a half into the season.
Yeah, and talk about the full compromising of your sport. 60 games is strange enough, although from Blue Jays' side and where they ended up, JR, I was fine with it. But this is a sport that I think more than any sport is about rhythm. And any athlete will tell you that. But at least in a contact sport, we understand like football, you can only play once a week. If you're the Blue Jays, you're trying to get into a rhythm as a young team, both hitters and pitchers. Now, all of a sudden, you've played some games, you have some days off. Everybody else is continuing into that. Talk about, again, the effect on the Jays and anybody else that thinks about trying to make a playoff. I don't see this as being any help whatsoever for anybody.
Blue Jays, by the way, lost to Washington yesterday 6-4, so their record falls to 3-4, and they won't play again. Monday was already a scheduled off day, so they won't play again until Tuesday against the Atlanta Braves. So this may be in part, all these cancellations of all these games may be in part the reasoning behind Major League Baseball approving with the Players Association yesterday the idea of seven-inning doubleheaders. So those have been approved as well, to start as soon as tomorrow. And this will be an effort for some of these teams to be able to make up games and not overly tax their pitching squads. Yeah. So that's the reasoning behind what we're going to see going forward, which is doubleheaders that are 7 innings long each.
Have there been a big change in the length of games? Because I only looked up one of the Jays' early games, and it was 2 hours and 47 minutes. Assuming that shortening them up, and if they are, for me, as the casual bandwagoner, I don't like it, kind of the integrity of the sport, but the 7 innings, I'm good to go on that. I don't have any issue.
Yeah. As far as I have not seen any official stats on what the average length of games has been. I'll only say that Blue Jays-Washington game the other day, which was 0-0 into the 10th inning. Now, it went an extra inning, but it was 3.5 hours
in a
game that had no runs until the 10th inning. So,
well, we were getting into last year, though, like the issue was games over 4 hours, was it not?
Yeah.
9-inning games?
Well, games have drifted up now to an average of, I think it was very close to 3 hours, and they have made, they brought the new rules in this year, which is when a reliever comes in, he's got to pitch to a minimum of 3 guys. But I haven't seen any stats. I'm sure they're out there somewhere about whether the average length of games has come down. I know part of the reason, or the entire reason, Major League Baseball put in this new extra inning rule where you start with the guy on second base if a game goes to extra innings. They want to get games over as quick as they can to, that every minute counts in terms of limiting the exposure of players to other players and people to other people and the potential spread of coronavirus. So that's the whole idea, is just get the games over as quick as you can.
Last night's game was actually 3 hours and 35 minutes.
There you go. All right, 7:54. Let's look at a couple of things that happened on this day in sports history, shall we? On this day in the year 2000, one of the greatest free agent signings in National Hockey League history happened, but it was very unheralded at the time. Marty St. Louis, a 25-year-old free agent who had just been released by the Calgary Flames, was signed by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And as they say, the rest is history. Ended up winning a Hart Trophy, a couple of Art Ross trophies, went into the Hockey Hall of Fame, won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Man alive. And, of course, Marty St. Louis ended up at a free agent camp here in Ottawa at one point as well. That has to be one of the greatest free agent signings in NHL history.
Yeah. Modern, what would be close to it would be Panarin signing with Chicago. Different circumstance there. But you go back to, first of all, him coming out of the University of Vermont. And it was Eric Perrin that he played with.
Yeah.
They were kind of attached at the hip. And I think that kind of, it took away where everything felt like a duo. And I believe when they first turned pro, they went to Cleveland Lumberjacks in the IHL. And that's where they started. They moved around. And also to Calgary, having them right there. Sutter put him on with Marty Murray and some other water bug. There were 3 tiny guys basically playing fourth line for Calgary. Might even be my buddy Todd Lushko a little bit. Didn't get a look. And then might have been also a connection between Rick Dudley, both here in Ottawa and in Tampa Bay. But everybody knew about the guy. And you just saw, you know what? Going to be too small. It's like it's watching Kimmo Tiimonen for years where it's, you know what? The whole hockey world knew about him and both of these guys. Now, Marty, a Hall of Fame career. It is amazing. Hey, Tampa Bay wouldn't have won a Stanley Cup if they had not signed him.
In any way, does Marty St. Louis' legacy, is it tarnished a tiny bit by the whole, you know, being left off the Olympic team by Steve Yzerman, and then eventually he, you know, Yzerman trades him out to the New York Rangers? In any way, does that tarnish his legacy, in your opinion?
I don't feel like it does. I was kind of trying to wonder, hey, you know what? Tarnish in a sense of what? Him being a bit moody because of what happened
there? Well, just the way people feel about him. You're a whiner, whatever. Hey, you didn't get picked. Too bad, so sad.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of great players in the NHL, and maybe you're not good enough anymore.
Yeah, I look at him and I look at a guy like Theo Fleury, and understanding what their motivation has been their entire life is people denying them and telling them, and I think using that as motivation. So I'll say no, just because he accomplished so much more. But it wasn't a good look at the time, for sure. And then for Steve Yzerman, there's nothing more awkward. I mean, these divorces, this is what led to Curtis Joseph leaving Toronto, was his camp, and Cujo was really upset at Pat Quinn, the 2002 Olympics. Hey, Pat Quinn is coaching the Olympic team. Steve Yzerman is with the Olympics. He doesn't have his Tampa Bay Lightning hat on at the time. So it's tough on both sides.
On this day in 2003, Expo fans may remember they retired Gary Carter's number 8, the first and only player to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame wearing a Montreal cap at that stage. Here was that night.
I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and for the many wonderful years that you gave me here. You will always be a part of me. You will always be family. And you will always be right here, number 1. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, if you ask the average Expo fan your favorite Expo player, and you'll get a lot of different answers, but Gary Carter, if he's not at the top, would be right near the top. The Hawk would be there as well. Some various other players, but I think that's 1A and 1B, is it not? Those two?
Anybody else come to mind? Well, it would for sure. I mean, Tim Raines would be very popular at the time. I guess the next era, you'd look at other, you know, there's been great, and Vladdy Guerrero. I think there's others, but at that time, being an Expos fan, he was a kid. He was also kind of the face of the team, where from a media standpoint, and some people said almost too much, what I think this also repaired, JR's, I remember, is that, I mean, there were a lot of people also upset when he went to the Mets, were they not? I mean, that was tough to go interdivisional and to end up losing him. So to go in as a Montreal Expo, but no, he was just so, so popular, and he was terrific with the media.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that happened on this day in 2003. We'll take a break, 7:59, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA.